Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
Is in vitro fertilization linked to increased risk for birth defects? That's a scary proposition for people thinking about doing in vitro fertilization. And so our guest is Dr. Lorraine Kelly Kwan, and she's a general surgery resident at the University of California in Los Angeles. So Dr. Kelly, tell us a little bit about this news release by the American Academy of Pediatrics. Tell us a little bit about what this means for women out there looking to do IVF.
Okay, sure. Well, thank you for having me on your show, Melanie. This, first of all, should not be an alarmist sort of announcement for parents. What we did in our study is we looked at infants in California born after any type of assisted reproductive technology. Now, that's the big umbrella term for fertility treatments like IVF that involve manipulation of the sperm and eggs together. And what we found in our study was that even when we controlled for maternal characteristics and infant characteristics that are known to be related to birth defects, that infants born after assisted reproductive technology, most of which is IVF, that those infants were at a slightly increased risk of birth defects. Now, our study didn't really identify a particular mechanism, but that there is this increased risk, and thus it warrants for further investigation.
So you don't want this to be something that causes alarm or panic, but how can it not? When this is the study that's being done, and I know further studies need to be done, but you know, as a woman that might want to do this, then they're going to see it and say, okay, now I'm at increased risk for this, just as I would be if I was an older pregnant woman or something along those lines. So calm the storm a little bit. Explain why they should not panic or go into alarm mode.
Well, first of all, the overall purpose of our study was to provide more information so that people can come to their physician when they're thinking about fertility treatments and have a really educated discussion and be able to understand better what their risk profile is going into a significant medical intervention. So when I say that there shouldn't be massive alarm, looking at the general population, the baseline rate of major birth defects is 3% across the board. Now, when we did our study, the control group of women who did not undergo IVF fertility treatments, these women were matched to women who did undergo IVF fertility treatments. They were matched based on age and race. And so the control group in our arm of the study would be anticipated to have a higher than normal rate of birth defects. So our control group actually had a rate about 6.6% of birth defects overall. And then the group in our study that underwent IVF and other assisted reproductive technology treatments, their overall rate of birth defects was 9%. So it was a 6.6% rate versus a 9% rate. So we're not talking 70-80% risk. We're talking about a significant risk, but it's a small risk. And this is also something, this is just to further enhance the discussion that goes on between couples considering fertility treatments and their physicians.
Explain a little bit, Dr. Kelly, about what maternal age, race, if you've given birth before, what parts do these play in your ongoing fertility treatments and, you know, the sort of scare of this whole thing?
Sure. So it's been well established that maternal age is one related to increasing maternal age is related to an increasing rate of infertility, particularly over the age of 35. So that factor is probably the most the best explored in the literature. We also included race and the number of pregnancies had before, because those have also, in other studies, been thought to be an important factor. But again, this mechanism of what is contributing, what is the actual factor that increases risk, has yet to be fully elucidated. These are factors that in the past have been shown to be associated.
Well, and also these factors are also associated generally with increased risk of birth defects anyway. That's why amniocentesis and things are done for women who get pregnant over the age of 36 years old or, you know, even older. So does that make it even a little bit more of a risk?
Well, I think that the difficult part in any type of research that's looking at IVF and birth defects is separating how much of this association is due to the procedure itself, possibly, or how much is due to the fact that someone has baseline infertility that requires them to seek treatment. And measuring out those differences is one of the challenges in our research. And our research group is hoping that our study is going to help stimulate further large epidemiologic reviews of this issue, to have really rich sources of data delineating infertility in couples, infertility treatments, and the outcomes for the children born afterwards.
And so where would you like to see? You would like to see this research going in that direction. Are there certain types of fertility treatments that you found are going to be less of a risk than others? I mean, we spoke about IVF a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so are there certain others, like, you know, taking Clomid or something along those lines? Is that included in this?
So this is a very important question. So in addition to looking at assisted reproductive technology in general, the majority of which is IVF, we also looked at other fertility-related services that do not fall under the umbrella of assisted reproductive technology. And that included services such as intrauterine insemination, fertility induction agents, et cetera. And we actually found that infants born after those interventions were not at an significantly increased risk of birth defects.
Okay, well, that's rather encouraging. And
very
sort of huge,
so.
Because, you know, people think, and now that insurance tends to cover, you know, maybe three fertility treatments of a certain type, then would that be a discussion to have with your fertility doctor, is to see which of these ones you can sort of start with, the first line of defense, and then move into these others that carry with them just that little bit of an increased risk?
Well, I think the most important thing is to, as you said, have the discussion with your fertility physician. It should be noted that the people who only undergo an intervention such as intrauterine insemination and then are able to have a baby probably have a lesser degree of infertility than people who end up requiring more expensive in vitro fertilization. So there may actually be a difference in the type of people that just undergo these specific treatments based on their quote-unquote level of infertility. So it's very important to talk to your doctor about all of the different options for fertility. And we thought that this was an encouraging finding, that these particular treatments, when looked at as a whole, were not associated with an overall increased risk of birth defects.
And that's where I was going with that, is that that is the encouraging part of this. So first you figure out sort of your level of fertility and then maybe start with that lowest level. So in the last 30 seconds here, Dr. Kelly, just
sure.
Sum it up for us.
So overall, we did a very large study, reviewed many infants born after IVF and non-IVF treatments. We found infants born after IVF treatments had a significantly increased risk of birth defects, but that rate was small. We found those born after non-IVF treatments did not have an increased rate, and really patients really need to talk with their reproductive specialist.
Well, that is the message of that study, and you're listening to Healthy Children with the American Academy of Pediatrics right here on Radio MD. You can also get more information at their consumer website, healthychildren.org. This is Melanie Cole for Healthy Children and Radio MD. Stay tuned. There's more coming up.